2, 3. George, welcome back, my brother.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being back on the show. We were just going to talk mostly. I wanted to hear your things about the, some of the stuff that's going on in the UFC with the division you used to fight. I text you. I say, look, we can talk a little bit about the UFC 259. But first thing I want to talk about is your haircut. How cool does that look, man? What's going on there?
Well, I let my hair grow. It's been a while. And I had an audition for a movie, and I had to look like they described my character as an obnoxious friend at the wedding.
Okay.
So it was a perfect timing. So I said, you know what? Let's get it. I was more like this when I did the audition. You see, like.
Okay. Yeah. That looks
I can
so
play
cool.
with it. That's a good thing about it. Can play with it.
You used to shave for the fight, right? You never.
I used to have. The thing is, I had a shaved head since I'm a teenager. So, I never had the patience to let it grow back because it reached a point that it's pretty ugly. You know, when it's in the middle, you know, it's.
Yes, you're right.
So I always said to myself, I said, you know what, hell, I don't want to work. I want to wake up in the morning and go on with my stuff right away. I don't have time to comb my hair.
Exactly.
So I said,
you have to.
Let's just keep it short and military style, so to speak, you know.
That's it. Yeah, and you have to take care of it, right? You leave it a little bigger than shaving. You have to brush or comb. Some guys do like an hour. You don't have that kind of time, right?
So I despise it. But now you get older, and you're like, you know what? When you're younger, you try to look older.
Right.
And when you're older, you try to look younger. So
that is so true. That is so. And times fly so quick. I was talking to a guy the other day, and I said, "Hey, sir, how are you?" And he's like, "Why are you calling me sir?" I was like, "Well, like you're like in your 40s, right?" He's like, "So are you?" I was like, "Oh shit, that's right." But I think the mind, it's what keep us young, right? Like I don't think my mind is 40. Like I'm 41, but my mind is probably like on the 20s, like high 20s kind of.
Oh man, if you talk like this, I'm probably 12 years old, you know. I'm really immature.
Well, but it's cool. It's like be a little silly, it's always good. It's like
look, absolutely.
You talk Renzo, right? Like how old is Renzo if you put in like he's probably 10. Like he's running around. He's John Danaher moved to Puerto Rico with the whole squad, right? And
yeah.
So Renzo is doing John Danaher's classes now. So it's I mean, I love John, but it's having Renzo there is so cool.
Yeah. Wow, that's so cool.
It's like a 2.5 hour class now. You know, he comes in a little late. And he stays a little longer, and he chats a lot, and he tells stories every class. It's a unique experience. I'm sure you have many of those.
Amazing, nice. Yeah, no, Enzo is a character of his own. You know, I don't know where he got all the energy. It's amazing.
It's crazy, and it's genuine, right? Like he's not pushing to be like he's not forcing just to be the nice guy. Like, hey, I gotta say hi to everyone. It's just how he is. I was watching he was teaching a class, and he went and tapped on the shoulder or made a nice comment to every single person that was rolling on that mat.
Wow.
In the stretch of like 10 minutes, he went to every single person. It's like, hey, good job. Hey, do like this. Hey, nice. Hey, my brother, very nice. With everyone. And I was just watching to see, I was like, he's really like that. He's like, he's not like, yeah. Hey, I'm Renzo Gracie. I'm at my academy. I'm just going to go and greet everyone because I have to. It's just how he is. It's crazy. It's so cool.
No, exactly. He's a great human being. And He's also an encyclopedia. You know, they have a lot of chance to have Enzo as a teacher.
Yes.
He made some of the best champion in jiu-jitsu and in MMA and everywhere. You know, yeah. He's a legend.
Yeah, I'm lucky to have one in front of me right now. Look, how's life? Last time we chat, I think it was July last year. We just had this new thing, pandemic going on and lockdown. It's like maybe in a couple of weeks we'll be okay, and we're still going. I follow you on Instagram. I see the snow workouts. How's the weather in Montreal treating you, man?
Well, everything is closed here, so I guess we're a little bit behind you guys. You guys had the early storm, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
So we're still in it right now, right here. So crazy. The restaurants are not open, the gyms are not open, but we, you know, I try my best to stay in shape. You know, I'm always in shape, so I try to do things outside of the box and do my workout outside.
And keep positive too, right? Because at this point, it's been so long, we can't even. Well, I don't even think we should keep looking back and it's like, oh my God, this and this. Just move on and hope for the best. So everything is like it's a complete lockdown and shutdown there. I didn't know that.
They opened some of the store in Montreal, but the restaurant, the gyms, everything is closed. Yeah.
Oh wow.
It should open, I guess, in a few months. Like it sucks, you know. But I cannot complain, you know, to compare. There are some people that are way more in the need than I am. I don't give myself the right to complain. I'm very happy, you know, and so I'm all good.
Yeah. I saw any projects you want to talk about? Anything going on? Like the movie you were...
Well, it's a big thing coming up in March 19. It's Ooh. The premiere of the Falcon and Winter Soldier. And it's a big thing for me. It's nice. I have a role it's a superhero series. That's what happened after the Avengers, you know? And... I can't talk much about it because contractual the problems. But yeah, it's a big project for me. So I can't wait. I'm very excited.
It's coming March 19?
March 19 on Disney Plus.
Disney? Wow!
Yeah.
That is awesome. I have Disney Plus. So we'll stay in touch when this thing releases, or if you can talk about more when it gets closer. Maybe we'll do something like a 10-minute. You talk about
Absolutely.
It. I'll put some subtitles and we'll shoot it to Brazil. I'm sure people will love to watch. I will for sure. So we'll keep.
Yeah, it's very compartmented. Like we I don't even know myself the whole thing, and they really, because I guess there's a lot of leaks and stuff like that. So they want to make sure everything stays secret. So I don't even know the whole thing myself.
You only get what you're doing, right? And the few characters you relate to.
They give you the script, and the script is only your part.
That's it.
Only what you need to know, and that's it, you know?
And how was that experience for you, man? Like acting and stuff? How did it feel? Because you look like you were always like a very private guy, a very, almost like a shy type of guy, right?
The thing is, I've been having class for the last 2 years, very intense. Yeah, I have camera class, theater class, and audition class. And much as I'm training also for acting.
Sure.
I didn't take it seriously in the beginning because I was competing in mixed martial art, but now it's an after career. And like in MMA, I want to be very good at it. You know, I try to do the best. I try to be the best at it. And I think people will see a much more improved game in myself, like when they're gonna see the series. You know, that's all I can say. It's because I've been working a lot on it, and it's like in jiu-jitsu, it's a lot of practice.
Sure,
there's a lot of similarities in acting and fighting. I've been acting all my life. Before every fight, I'm terrified. I'm scared. I'm very uncomfortable. But when I walk to the octagon to fight, I pretend that I'm happy, excited, and confident, but it's only a mask. And in fighting, you do a lot of repetition and imagery of trying to visualize the fight.
Sure.
But in reality, when you get to the fight and your opponent is never exactly the same as you thought it would be. You know, he's never as good, but he's never as bad either. He's always different. And in a scene, when you practice a scene for a movie, you practice so many times and you visualize it as well. But when you get on set, it's never exactly, the setup is always different. The reaction of the other actors with who you play can be different. So you need to be like Bruce Lee said, you need to be like water. So I guess the best fighter and the best actor are the one that can adapt the best at what they're in front of.
Sure.
So I guess that's one of the big similarities in between acting and fighting.
That's
and another thing too, in fighting, you get very good at readings the other people's bodies. And for example, if I throw a punch to you, before I throw the punch, you will have some cues. Like my shoulder will go back, I will step forward with my opposite foot and swing at you.
Uh-huh.
So fighters are very good at reading these cues, you know? So they can predict
the body reaction, the body movement, right? Like what happens just before. Plus you study the guys too. So
exactly. Hey,
when he kind of like blinks twice, he's going to throw a punch.
Yes.
That kind of stuff, right?
So fighters are very good at this thing to predict. They can read the body. But actors, when you do a lot of acting class, you can read the body as well, but in a different ways.
Hmm.
Because you don't watch movie the same ways as you do, as I did before. I and a lot of time, there are some people in my life, for example, if I receive a promotion, some of the people, it already happened in my life, and I now can see it even more. They come to me and say, oh, hey, George, congratulations, that's fantastic. But deep down inside, they might be jealous. So you're able to see it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you get better at seeing who's acting and who's not because you know what I mean? You're taking class. So you can read the body language of people much easier. And I thought it was fascinating.
That's one of the things, too,
that it's very similar to fighting and to acting. There's like big similarities to it.
Kind of what we're talking about Renzo, right? Like you look at him, you know he's genuine, right? Like he's not forcing. And a guy that's kind of like he's doing that because he has to, you can kind of get the vibe, right? It's like, oh, he's a great guy, but you can kind of tell he does not want to be here, right?
Yeah. There's guys that can be nice only in front of the camera, but then after that they can be an asshole to everybody.
That's
they
right.
go to restaurant, they're mean to the waiter, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Meet a lot of people like that. And for me, when I met someone, like let's say a celebrity, I really can say if he's a really nice person of how he act with others, not how he is with me, because I'm kind of a professional athlete, so he might be nice with me, but I want to see how he act with the other people around.
Yeah,
the waiter, the person at the front desk, These are the cues that I'm looking for. I'm like, oh, he's a nice guy. You know, he's a cool dude.
There's a saying, right, that say like, hey, you go on a date with someone, you want to see how that person treats the waitress, the cleaners, and stuff like that, because that's kind of like how that person really is, right? Like, how you treat someone that's technically like maybe hierarchically, that's not even a word, but you get the point. Like so, someone that's below you,
how you treat someone that even though you have to be nice to everybody, even though you know that you're not gonna get anything from them. It's not, you know,
exactly.
you even if you don't have nothing to gain from them, you have to be nice with everybody.
Exactly.
That's how I see it. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Yeah,
because you never know that the table can turn one day and that person might be the one that you need to seek help, you know?
Yeah, not even like that. Like I'm going to use by an example, you, like a few years back, I think you just fought Bisping at Madison Square Garden. And I met you a couple of days after at the Ariel Helwani show. You were for an interview. I was there with my friend Paulo Costa. So
yeah.
We met, and you were super nice, and I was freaking out. I was like, holy shit, that's GSP. Look, I'm an MMA fan, so, like, you are, for the fans, you know that. Like, I'm not being I'm not saying anything you don't know, but you're too nice of a guy to admit. But you were super nice. Hey, my brother, how are you? Hi, hey, how's it going, man? Hey, I say, I train a little. Like, oh, nice. Tell Hanzo I said hi. And then a couple more times we met at Hanzo's. And I was like, hey, George. It's like, hey, man, how's it going? And it's just that. Like you just.
It's part of your job when you're an entertainer. And like, you know, I consider myself an entertainer. I'm a professional athlete. What we do is we entertain people. Yep. You know, they buy the pay-per-view to see us fight. We're athlete, but we're all in the entertaining world.
Yep.
Professional athlete are entertainer. Singers are entertainer. Actors are. It's all the entertaining exactly. world, you know?
Exactly.
And when you are in this business, it's part of your job to, you have to be nice. You, even if you're having a bad day, you can't let the fan knowing that you have a bad day. It's not their fault.
They're
paying to for your living and you have to be nice. You hold them yeah. to this, exactly. I think.
Well, you're there, right? Like you were kind of like, You're fighting because you are a fighter, but you're also fighting for the fans, right? Like, so it's thinking about that. Someone sent me I put something on Instagram. Say I'm having George on the podcast tomorrow. Send questions. And one guy sent me a video of you on your knees asking for a title shot, and yeah. that was kind of like so. Honest, right? It's like you had such a honest moment. I think opposite than what people kind of do today, right? Like grab the microphone and talk shit and stuff like that. You go like, look, I'm gonna be on my knees. I'm gonna beg you, hey, give me another chance. I want to fight for the title. What changed from that guy that was like literally with like tears in his eyes and with all the hope, right, that from what's to come, from that GSP to the guy that's right there today, like the accomplished martial artist.
I'm a different person, you know, like you're a different person than when you're 25, than when you're 15, and you're a different person than when you're 35, than when you're 25. At the time, I didn't care. I was to obtain my goal. I was ready to fight anybody at any time, anywhere. You know, and I didn't care. I was ready to go through hell to obtain what I want. Now, when you reach a certain stage in your life, you look back and you're like, man, like I'm glad I've done it. You know, because it made me who I am. But I would not want to do this thing again ever. Now I've done it, so it's. Now it's gone, you know. So people are like, hey, why don't you come back and fight? I'm like, I've done it, you know. Like it's like a kid that play with the toys, and after a few years, he's tired. You look at the toys, like, man, I'm tired to play with this. I grow, you know. I don't want to do the same thing again. You lose motivation, yeah. And when your motivation is not there, it's time to change. Otherwise, you're gonna hurt yourself, especially in the fight business.
For sure. It's funny you said that because I saw an interview with Bob Dylan, and this guy was going through some of the classic songs from Bob Dylan, right? And Dylan was like listening to the songs. I think it was like a Rolling Stone. It's a classic, and he's listening to the songs, and he looked at the guy and he say, "Isn't that amazing?" And the guy's kind of like, what's amazing? It's like that music, the lyrics, it's like, that's a different guy. It's like, it's me, but it's a different guy. Like I'm listening to this and paying attention. It's like, it's a totally different person. The guy who wrote that song, it's not me anymore. Right. It's,
yeah.
It's very touching. It's very, so since you touch on that subject, right. What do you think? Like, Usman just beat my friend Gilbert Burns, and he's calling you out. Like, hey, George, I'm watching you, George. I see you training, boy.
I'm very flattered that he called me out. I don't take it as an insult. I take it as a
compliment, right?
As a compliment. Yep. That means I'm still relevant, and I. But the truth is, I understand why he's doing it. They want what I had. But what I had, it took me years to achieve it and to gain it. It doesn't come overnight like this. Yeah. And if Kamaru Usman want to obtain the status, you know, like we're all different, you know, like he needs to, you know, it's a long, it takes a long time, you know, like he will need, you know, like he already beat my record for the consecutive win. He already beat the record, and the record are made to be broken.
Well, the,
if
the
you
want to
beat my record for the title defense, he can do it as well, but you can't get all that stuff in one night by fighting one guy, because you never fight the same guys twice. And the guy that I was when I went on my knees begging for a title, I'm not the same guy anymore.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I don't want to go back and win for a title. And let's say I beat Usman, then after he's going to be Covington, he's going to be Burns, going to be another guy. I'm like, man, it's never going to end. You know what I mean? And that's the game. And the game of fighting is about what's next, not what was before. It's they want to promote what's next. So I understand they promote the whole thing, but you need to understand that I've, you know, I've done it before and it does not excite me, you know?
I get it. And plus, I think there's a little, like, you get a guy like Kuzma, right? I'm not saying you active on your golden active year, you will be 10 Usmans in one night. But I think now, for a guy like him to call you out, like a technically retired George, like you train, but you're not training for a fight, you're not in camp, you're not doing
I can't even train for a fight right now. It's illegal. It's illegal. The gym are not even open, and
I think that's what I
would be telling you that I'm doing something illegal if I said I'm training for a fight right now.
Exactly. So I think what people want is not just what you had. I think they feel they're not going to be complete if they don't there's this thing, right? Like I think in Brazil we have Ricardo Arona. You heard of him from Pride?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I know who he is. Yeah.
That's a guy who quit on top, right? Like not the same level, different competitions and stuff like that, but that's a guy who quit on his prime. Just like kind of like what you did and kind of what Khabib did. And people just they just don't let go. They're just like, what the fuck? George, get back here. I gotta fight you, man. The thing is,
like let's say Uriah Hall. You know, Uriah Hall beat Anderson Silva last night.
Yep.
Did by beating Anderson Silva, he reached the same status of Anderson Silva? No way. Silva is an incredible champion, one of the best, maybe the best to ever done it.
Yeah.
And it's not because Uriah Hall beat Silva that he's now becoming, it doesn't work like that. That's the young guy, they don't understand that doesn't work like that. You never fight the same fighter twice.
He didn't beat the 2010 Anderson Silva. He bet.
Guy that I was when I was on my knee begging for a title shot, I'm not that guy anymore. I changed, you know. Yeah. I might be worse, I might be better, you know, like, but I'm not the same guy. And in order to build his legacy, fighters, it takes time. It doesn't come overnight. And you need, you know, all those crazy fights that guys that talk trash about him, like Covington and all these guys, perhaps you need to go back and beat them again. You know, like I've beat Josh Koscheck twice. I've beat Matt Hughes three times. I've beat BJ Penn two times. It takes times. You know what I mean? It doesn't come overnight. It's not by one winning one fight that you're going to reach that sort of status, you know. You need to it takes time to build that up.
Yeah, and you lost a couple of times and you bounce back. I think it all adds up too, right? It's not just like that. You say he just beat my record of wins, but you had that record as a champion, not just winning fights.
It was a different time. It was a different times. I don't say like looking at him, he's very good. He's very talented. I believe if he continue to perform the way he does, he's going to beat my record in title defense as well. Like he's very good. And I truly believe that not that fighters are better over time, that they perform better over time. I believe the fighters of today are performing better than the fighters of yesterday, and the fighters of tomorrow will perform better than the fighters of today.
Yeah.
Not because they're better, because we have more technology. I remember when I wanted to learn jiu-jitsu, I had to physically drive myself to New York and train at Hanzo Academy. Now I can look on YouTube on my cell phone to learn some new techniques, you know? I didn't have that when I was a teenager. So all these things, the technology, all that, the knowledge, it has improved. So it makes you improve. It makes the performance of the athlete improve as well.
Exactly.
For me, the best fighter of all time is Royce Gracie. He's the GOAT. But for sure, if you put Royce Gracie in his prime and put him in a fight with the modern guys, I don't think he will do well.
Yeah.
But for
different
his
times,
time,
right?
To do what he did, it's never been done before. It never been done before, and I don't think it will be done again in the future. It was just amazing. And you talk about greatest of all time.
That's who I have it over there. I have you and Royce Gracie, like kind
Royce
of face,
Gracie is
facing
my favorite
each other
of all time
for a fire. Look at that.
He's my favorite of all time. But if you talk about the GOAT, like a lot of guys, they all want, they say they want to be the GOAT. It's a fugazi. It doesn't exist. It all depends what you're looking for. If you're looking for someone who has the most dominating career, maybe it would be Khabib, you know, who faced the most adversity. Maybe it's Jon Jones. Who was the most flamboyant? Yeah. Maybe it's Anderson Silva or Conor McGregor, you know.
Yeah.
Who's the most complete of all? Maybe it's Demetrius Johnson.
But
then you have to take in consideration who was cheating, who took performance enhancing drug, and who, like, there's so many things that to that argument, you know, like, but it doesn't come overnight. It takes a long time to build that up, to build that case up.
You touch on that fight with Johnny Hendricks that you retired right after that hell of a fight. Did that have anything to do with PEDs? Because you look like so. Well, yeah, it's a tough spot for you to answer. I get it. So don't. That's not the intention here. I don't want to get extra clicks saying shit like
that.
No,
I stopped after that fight because I wasn't. I was also in a place in my life that I would say maybe in depression. I was going through a lot of stuff, and I was ashamed to admit that because of my lifestyle, of who I was, I couldn't believe I was going through the depression, and the fighting take a toll on me, you know, like I was not having fun doing it. And on top of that, I was fighting against performance enhancing drug, and Johnny Hendricks refused at the time to do the test.
Hmm.
I don't have the evidence. I cannot prove, you know.
Exactly.
I don't accuse someone because you don't have the evidence. I think it's wrong. But we agreed at first to do the test. And the UFC, I was angry because the UFC told Johnny Hendricks to not doing it. And I believe at the time they did that because they knew if I would start a new trend, a lot of their champion would fall.
Yeah.
And I give props to the UFC after they changed their mentality and they made a deal with USADA. And you see what happened. Obviously, a lot of the guys, a lot of their legends fall because I knew it was a big problem in the sport. And that's why I was very frustrated at the time. It makes a huge difference. Some people say, oh, no, it's only fighting. It doesn't make a difference. It makes a huge difference.
Oh, it makes huge difference.
I have trained personally with guys who are on performance-enhancing drug. And when they are and when they are not, they are two different guys, man. It's insane. It makes a huge difference.
And it's
like,
funny.
People are like, oh, it does not. Yeah, it does. It makes a huge,
crazy
hell difference.
I had a podcast with Dedé Pedernadas, Jose Aldo's coach in Brazil from Nova União.
Yeah.
And we were talking about PEDs and stuff like that. And he shares a different point of view. He thinks cheating is cheating. But I was like, look, for you to take something to improve your performance in cycling, because he was using the Lance Armstrong.
PPO, yeah.
Yes. For you to take something where you're going to sit on a bike and just win a race, it's cheating, but it's a different level of cheating than you to take something so you can beat more a guy. Because right? Like, I agree on the cheating subject. Cheating is cheating.
Yeah.
But
when you hurt people, it's
for
even
you
worse,
to cheat because you're going to hit a baseball faster, and for you to cheat because you want to kick a guy harder, it's a totally different cheating spirit for me.
Man, there's guys that, like, look, we all know who we talk about. There's guys that have performance, like flawless performance when they were on performance enhancing drug. And we all know damn well that they would not have those flawless performance if they would not be on these kinds of substance. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, it's the number one.
He was using
defense mechanism. When someone got cut, he's like, "Yeah, but it doesn't change the fact that I beat the guy. It's not the performance." And I'm like, "Yes, it does, man. You would not have that performance if you."
He was talking specifically about TJ Dillashaw because there's a talk about TJ and Aldo coming to a fight, and he's like, "Oh, we need to see which TJ is gonna show up. If it's the TJ with the PEDs, or if it's TJ without the PEDs, because then he has a thing with TJ because of Renan Barão, and TJ beat him twice, and he believes TJ was using so because TJ got caught after the fight with Cejudo that he lost, by the way, right? He lost that fight. And he got a 2-year suspension because he was using something. So it's a very touching.
It's unfortunate that there is a lot of guys that got caught, but there is a lot of guys also that use it and did not get caught. And man, we all know, like, especially when you're in the business, you see a lot of things, and y'all know, but you know what I mean. You can't say a lot of stuff. Because it's wrong to accuse someone without the evidence.
Sure.
And there's the system. It's very easy to beat. It's very easy to beat.
Do you ever fought with Uzada in place?
It's very, very easy to beat. Very easy to beat.
Well, the Bisping fight, we had Uzada, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's easy to beat. Let's say you get... There's many ways the guys, they do it. Let's say you get an injection of something that will last in your body maybe 3 days. Mm-hmm. But the effect of it will last 1 month. So you put in your whereabout that you're going in somewhere where they will never come to. You're going in Antarctica or whatever. Like, in, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and I'll be back in 4 days.
You know, you're going somewhere 4 days. That you know they will never come to see you. Like, you pretend you're going somewhere. So you put that address, they will never come see you, but you're on, nobody can find you for 4 days, but because you get you keep training, but you got your injection.
Okay, yeah. Wow.
You know that this thing can last in your body, they can detect it in your body maybe 3 days. I'm not an expert, I'm just
sure. I get the point.
That's how people told me they were that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Then after, you know, it cannot be found in your body. Now you go back to your normal life, but you still have the effect. The effect are still there. Or what you do is you are sponsored by a company, a food supplement company that makes protein, creatine, but they also do on the black market, they do performance enhancing drug. So what happened is you're sponsored by them, and if you get cut with performance enhancing drug, you blame it on the tented substance. Yeah. So you say, oh, it's not my fault. It's the protein that I take are tented. So what they're going to do, they take a sample of the protein, and then they go back and they say, oh, yeah, it's true. It's tented. So it take away your it make you an innocent person. You know what I mean?
They still got like a 6-month suspension, but it's just like
I said. I don't think if it's tinted supplements, I don't think it's a 6 months suspension. I think it's because they say that you're an innocent.
Yes, you are innocent, but you still get a 6 month because. But the problem is, by the time you get the suspension,
your fight is already done.
Yeah. So
So that those are the main trick that I know. A lot of the guys like I say a lot. I like that's all the guys have done. I've beat the system.
Yeah,
and that's a big
that
problem.
Makes sense. I never thought about that.
They have a food supplement company that are behind them. So if they get cut right away, they have their escape plan. So that's the way they do it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So going back to that Usman and Gilbert Burns fight, how do you feel? Because I'm gonna ask this because it's. You kind of went through something similar, but I'm from here, so I kind of know it's not 100% the same. Because Usman and Burns, they used to train together for like 80 years. You fought Matt Serra, which is a Renzo Gracie guy, but not necessarily you guys were training together and at the same point, but kind of part of the same team. Was it weird? How was it? The Matt Serra is a super cool guy, but.
Yeah, it's always very hard when you fight a guy that you like, you know, and I like Matt Serra. I feel always better. I always perform better when I have grudges. When the guy that I fight, I don't like him. So I always gonna prepare in the fear that he's getting more well prepared than I am, so to speak.
Okay.
It makes me more worried and make me perform better because it engaged my pride, you know, to the deepest level.
Now I have to win that guy, right?
Yeah,
yeah. It was a funny thing to see because these guys knew each other so well, and I was always thinking, look, I'm Brazilian too, so I kind of like tend to go to Gilbert Burns' side. But I was like, if there's a guy who can beat Usman, it's gonna be him because they kind of like. I think that whole process where you never felt that guy before you fight him, it's different, right? So it's not like he never felt the pressure or the power of Usman and stuff. So I was like, you take that out of the way, they're just going to fight. And if anyone knows the way, it's him, the other way too, right? It goes both
ways. But there are also the fact that when you train with someone, fighting is way different. I know guys in the gym, they train with each other all the time. And when they check these two guys, when they train with each other, normally there's one guy that tend to have the advantage over the others in the gym. But if these two guys would fight with each other, I would give the advantage to the other guy. And people are asking me why he's beating the other guy always in the gym. Why would you give the advantage to the other guy? I'm like, well, because the experience factor and also the fact that when the lights are on, I know that guy always perform and the other guys fold. Mm. So these are the factors. And fighting for real in a cage and training in a gym are two different things. You cannot replicate exactly what happened in a fight during training because you'll get hurt. You won't be able to to train like this every day.
Yeah.
So you change the games, change the rules, you change the games. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So
that kind of makes the totally different animal when you're up there, right? Did you watch the Poirier Conor fight? What'd you think of it? You like Conor style, right? I think you said that the last time.
I like to watch him fight. He's very spectacular. You know what I mean? And he's the biggest draw in the sport. And I like to watch him fight. He's like a sniper, but he got cut. I thought he was going to win, but he got cut. I believe Conor takes a big hit on his ego and everything, but I believe he can come back. You know what I mean? I believe in Conor McGregor. I believe he's going to come back from that.
Yeah, and they're talking about a rematch. So you see all this moving parts going on with that division. Khabib kind of retired, but not sure what's going on with him. And they're going to redo this Conor McGregor Dustin Poirier fight. It's not set in stone, but everybody's saying yes. Khabib say yeah. Not Khabib, I'm sorry. Conor said yes. Dustin Poirier said yes. Dana White say, well, if they want to do it, we'll do it. And yeah, everything kind of gets put on hold. We have another contender getting close there, Charles de Bronx, right? The Charles Oliveira.
Yeah, he's very good.
He's very good, right?
Like, he's the best one right now.
For to get the title shot, I think he secured his spot. We just got to figure out what's going on with the division, right?
Yeah, I think he's the number one guy right now. I believe if I outside of Khabib, I think he would be the champion. If Khabib is out, I think I would put my money on him.
Do you think Khabib will come back? Like for what you think, not facts. I think you don't think he would.
I don't think so.
Conor McGregor money?
He had a perfect career. Why would he come back to fight another challenger? I mean, maybe for Oliveira, but I don't think he will come back to fight another guy that he already beaten because it's nothing to gain. It's nothing to gain.
You think they would do Conor McGregor? Yeah. So what I think is like they really want Conor to win against Dustin Poirier so they can have a reason to do the rematch between Khabib and Conor.
I don't think Khabib will do it.
You don't?
Yeah.
That's, he said he will fight you. Would you ever consider coming back to fight him?
Khabib is different than Usman because Khabib is undefeated. He has like he's among the probably the he's probably the GOAT. If you consider really who has the most dominated career of all time, Khabib is right up there. He almost never lost a round, you know. Almost nobody ever win a round against him. So, for me, when that fight, they were talking about that fight, I was motivated to do it because for that reason, you know what I mean. But the problem is, there's no way I can make it. Like 2 years, like more than 2 years ago, I was ready to try, but now to make 155, it's impossible. And even I don't think Khabib can make 155. Tell you the truth, you know, like yeah, he's bigger than me. So I think like in a catch weight, but not 170, but not, I cannot go down 155. And the older you get, the harder it is to lose weight.
For sure.
So, and I'm close to 40 years old, you know, let's forget it. You know, it's done.
Yeah, that's the other part. Like what I think is, would you put your legacy, you know, like just, I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love to see you there. I know you wouldn't love to make a comeback because the stress and the camp and everything. You kind of say like you like the prep, not the fight night, right? But I don't think it makes sense, right? Like neither for you or for him, because let's pretend you guys agree to that. Like you're looking for like a last one. And Khabib look for a last one. You win, he's gonna want a rematch, right? And then they say, dude, but I say it is my last one. He's like, well, that's not fair. And if the opposite happens, Khabib wins, you would like a rematch. And he's like, no. That yeah, was my right. last one. And say, oh, come on. And then he kind of goes what you say, like it never ends.
Yeah, well, the fight you can play it. 100 times, it could be 100 times different result. You know what I mean? Sort of, it's never gonna play out the same way. All you know, every time, because there's so much thing that can influence a fight. You know, the causality. It's very hard to predict.
Exactly.
But if you would like 2 years ago, or maybe even 1 year ago, a few months ago, I would have done it. If the star would have been aligned and say, oh, we're going to do that in the catch weight and this, that, the dope, everything would have been aligned. I would have considered to do it. But now it's COVID and everything and it's all done. And they talk about, they were talking about 155. I'm like, forget it. There's no.
Yeah, and he said he wouldn't go up either. Like, he's like, oh, I'm the champ on 155. Why would I go up? And like, so it's not.
Yeah.
155, it's impossible for
you. To tell you the truth, I believe the whole weight, it's a big problem. Weight, you know, because I never cut a lot of weight. I walk around. When I wake up this morning I was 182 pounds this morning when I wake up. you know. So I'm sure Khabib is heavier than me. Like I'm pretty sure he's heavier than me. But the problem is his capacity of cutting weight is much better than mine. And he's a better weight cutter than me. There's guys that their body are more like a sponge, you know, they can lose and gain back water. I've never been a big fan of losing weight because I don't think it's good for your health at long term. And I think one of the things that ONE FC is doing the best is they don't allow weight cut.
Yes.
So they weigh in I think it's the week before, the day before, the day of the fight, and you're not allowed to have more than something like 5% than your opponent. And I think that's a very good system.
Yeah, you're right. You're a free agent right now, or you still have a contract with the UFC?
No, I'm with UFC. If I ever come back with me, I have to be with UFC. And I don't want to come back. I'm good where I am. I'm fine where I am right now.
Look, but if this Khabib thing at 170, that will possibly work. Let's say, George, December,
no.
Khabib 170. How long do you need to get ready for?
I'm.
We're done.
I'm done now. It's not gonna work. We've tried many times. It's not gonna work, and it's not gonna be 170. 170 would be illogical to do 170. Would have to be a catch weight or would have to be no weight at all, you know, like, okay, you have to, or you agree to a weight and the day of the fight, you cannot be more than maybe 3% of, you know, I don't play with my weight. I don't mind, I don't want to do this anymore. I have other project now, and I'm good now. I'm good. It's over.
The movie. Let's make movies, right? It doesn't hurt. Yeah. It's just the fun part of it, right?
Yeah.
Look, let me just touch base with you on the UFC 259 that's coming up. We have three title fights. We have Petr Yan with Aljamain Sterling. We have Amanda Nunes and Megan Anderson. And then I think the fight that everybody's talking about, it's Israel Adesanya going up to fight Jan Błachowicz. What do you think about this? Did you see the Paulo Costa and Israel Adesanya fight?
I think that performance of Israel Adesanya was one of the best performances I ever seen. It was amazing. Yeah, it was. He fought the perfect fight, and I think he can beat Błachowicz if he fight the same way. If he fights smart, keep it at the end of his punches and in a kickboxing sort of speak match, I think that's when he's at his best. Błachowicz, on the other hand, I believe he would need to make this fight more like to mix it up with the rest to threat Israel with his wrestling to. Because if he stay in a kickboxing match, Israel is the best at kickboxing.
Yes.
So you wanna make the fight not like a kickboxing match when you fight Israel Adesanya, because that's where he's good at. That's his bread and butter.
Yep.
And of course, like Israel, that is good strength. He's controlling the distance and he's very good at this stuff. You know. So we'll see how it's gonna play out. It's interesting.
It is, right? I think when they had the fight with Jan Błachowicz and Dominic Reyes, I had Dominic as a favorite because of what we saw with the John Jones fight and stuff like that, right? So he got caught.
Yeah, man, a lot of people believe that he beat Jones, you know, rounds to two. So I thought Reyes was going to beat Błachowicz, but Błachowicz like surprise everybody.
You know what I thought when I saw? Do you remember that Luke Rockhold and Mike Bisping fight? The face of Luke Rockhold before the fight started. It's kind of like, I can't believe I'm going to have to fight this guy. You know, like he doesn't deserve kind of to be here with me. I kind of saw that same look, like the annoyed look with Dominic. Kind of like, you know, like he kind of like underestimating the guy a little bit. And I think he just got too cocky and he got caught. And
yeah, it happened to everybody.
and what I want to go with this is I think Dominic will be a much more dangerous fight to Adesanya than Błachowicz would bring. You know, Błachowicz will have that you get too close, you get hit, it could be Lights Out. But I think like technically and the distance and trading punches, I think Dominic will be much more of it's a different style, like bring more danger to Adesanya style. Would you risk a pick on that fight?
I think Adesanya will win. I think so.
Wow. All right. Yeah.
I think Adesanya will beat Blachowicz, but I don't know. I don't know much about Blachowicz, but if Blachowicz decide to wrestle, because I heard he's a good wrestler, if Blachowicz try to wrestle, could be a tough night for Adesanya. You know, like it's hard to say. We'll see how it's gonna play out.
Okay, so before we go, I have. You good with time?
Yeah, of course. I have another interview waiting for me now. So whenever,
like right now.
Yeah, they were at 12:30.
I'll be quick. I promise. I have some fan questions. Okay. I'm going to skip the stuff we already talked about. All right. Cause that like 90%, it's about Usman. The other 5, it's about Khabib. And, 90, it's about Usman and Khabib. And then we have Gabriel Matos. What would you do if you were not an MMA fighter?
I would be a paleontologist.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, that's my passion, and I still sometimes go on site and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you into UFOs too? I saw a post yesterday. You saw like American Airlines. They saw.
Paleontology is the study of instinct organism, like yes. The dinosaurs and all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. But I say like, yeah. But you also into UFOs and
yeah, yeah. It's a passion for me as well. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. Like I was reading that thing from your post, and like they say like lately there's a lot of reports going on of. Airplane pilots seeing weird stuff and things like that. What, right?
How close
you follow all of these reports? Because there's thousands of websites.
They always been a lot of report of UFO. The problem is now the government is publicly and acknowledge it. That's the difference now.
Oh, okay.
The government publicly saying that the Pentagon says like. They actually, there's UFO and we don't know what they are. Like,
oh, really?
And they said that they were in possession of stuff that they don't know where it comes from. Like I read an article about that. That's crazy. You know what I mean? So we're at a very exciting time right now.
That is very crazy. Especially for like, I love that too. How close you follow this? You're the type of guy like you go on websites and check, hey, there was a new thing here. Because what breaks into my mind about this a lot is like all the footage we have lately, not lately, all the famous footage we have, it's all old, crappy pictures and crappy videos. Like everybody has a 4K phone now. It's like you don't see anything sharp and crisp anymore, right? Like, and everybody carries a camera. So I was like, where did all that? Those sightings go and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I don't know what to say. It doesn't mean if it's a UFO, it's an alien or an extraterrestrial. It could be a lot of other things. Yeah, you know, yeah, so we don't know what it is.
You're right.
UFO, it's unidentified flying object.
Yes,
it could be a lot of things.
They were talking about this American Airlines flight. It could be a missile, right? Like because they were.
That's it.
Their fire was like a cylindric thing that just flew, which is also crazy to think about it, right? Like you're freaking flying a plane and a missile goes by you, almost hit the plane. That's crazy stuff. I don't even want to get into that one. How did you feel training with Roger Gracie? That's the question from Mauricio Correa.
Roger is like an anaconda. When you train with him, you feel like you're fighting an anaconda, and you feel claustrophobic. He's incredible.
Such a like that's it. That everybody says that it feels like you're fighting a big jacket.
Exactly, right? A straight jacket.
They say which one was the So this is interesting because it's not specifically about a fight. This is a question from Hailson Gomez. He's like, what was the athlete that you either trained or you fought that you think was the hardest guy you ever, maybe could be a fight or maybe could be a training. You say, oh shit, this guy is special. And we all have those special guys at the gym too, right? That never fought.
The best guy I trained with, and to me it was the best all well round. The best guy I fought, I think, skill wise, was BJ Penn. He was the perfect fighter. The best guy I trained with, who for me could have been the best fighter if he would have wanted to fight, it's Firas Zahabi, my coach.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
But he never fight. He always been more intellectual, he's more an intellectual guy. So he always been very good at teaching. But he was very good in the gym too, to sparring. He was sparring with me all the time back in the day.
Really?
And he was good everywhere. Striking, yeah. Grappling. He's the real deal.
Would you?
But he never compete in mixed martial art professional.
Huh. Were you one of those guys that go and spar like really hard sometimes? Or you rather just keep technical or just like...
I've done both, but... Normally, it's more technical. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard, but normally it's more technical. I see a lot of guys they ruin their career in the gym, and I'm not like that.
Yeah, there's like the old that shooty box gym, and the last one. All right, and we already said that there's 100 questions about, hey, you're gonna fight Khabib, when you're coming back, and blah blah blah. But what would be like a fighting game plan for a fight with a guy like Khabib? That's
if I would fight Khabib, what would have been my game plan?
Yeah, so what this guy is called the Notorious Lewis. He's asking what kind of game plan you have for a guy like Khabib.
Now that it never gonna happen, I can share it with you.
All right, that's right.
I would have take the center of the octagon. A lot of fakes and feint all the way in or all the way out. Stay away from wrestling him near the fence. If I engage the takedown, and I would have tried to engage, I would have engaged takedown, I would have done it in the open with my reactive takedown or proactive takedown setup. Using a lot of ground and pound, forcing him try to turn his back on me and go for rear naked choke. That's how I would have seen the fight going. To put him in a position that he never been in his life, to make him uncomfortable.
Yes.
Where he never been. And that's would have been the game plan. But it's not an easy thing to do. Maybe I would have failed miserably. Maybe I would have won. Maybe not.
I'll never know. I'm yet to see a guy who does what you just described, like the fainting and threatening, like a lot of creativity,
spin kick, punch kick, movement, fake Superman punch, spin kick, the calf kick. You know,
it's a trademark, like the feints and the crazy good precise jabs and stuff like that. You will put a pressure that he never felt before. George, my brother, amigo, thank you so much for doing this.
Take care.
I really, really appreciate you coming back. March 19th for the movie, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Disney Plus.
All right. We'll watch. Thank you so much, George.